Baron Harmond raised his weary head.
It is done.
Gratefully, the boy leaned back in his chair. There was still disharmony in his mind, but it was becoming less with every passing second. The explosion sounded from outside the window of the throne room. The Doomy Baron glanced sideways to see debris flying into the air, only to fall back down upon the burning vill. The Sekhmen were using the last of the gunpowder to blow up key buildings and make a firebreak to try to hold back the raging inferno before it destroyed everything. At the moment, the Sekhmen had no leader. They were working together out of sheer necessity. Bateman had died when the gunpowder mill detonated. The Sek chief had been riding his horse when the concussion wave hit, sending him flying from the saddle to crash into the gallows and break his neck. Another blast shook the night, and the Baron turned his vision inward. The future was murky in some spots and crystal clear in others. The fate of Ryan and the others was unknown, as was his own destiny. No Doomy could see his or her own life. It was a blessed blind spot in the mind's eye that kept them somewhat sane. But already Harmon could see the new Sek chief for the Vill coming this way. He would arrive under a cloak of lies, a sworn foe of Broke Neck. But he would serve the Vill faithfully until his own future dictated a certain course of action. Thick smoke drifted in through the window, driven by the winds of the conflagration, and the boy started to cough. It was gone, the fleeting glimpse carried away by the distraction of an acrid breeze. The future was unknowable once more, a matrix of ever-flowing chaos that flowed like a waterfall cascading from the mouth of the moon. Doc threw himself forward in a frantic burst of speed. Rocks and boulders were rolling everywhere, and he tripped more than once, but grimly forced himself to keep going. As the dusty exhalation moved down the passageway, the old man braced for death, but the noise of the falling rocks soon lessened. Then the stream rushing past his knees slowed and began to diminish until it was a mere trickle snaking between his soggy shoes. Could it be? There was still live moss on this length of the passageway, and Doc took a fast glance backward. The passage was blocked solid now, several of the larger stalactites acting as a crude bulwark to hold back the rest of the rubble.
Finny.
Doc allowed himself a small grin. Then he lurched into action once more, wisely determined to keep his cold feet moving. That final avalanche should have done the job. The tons of rock had buried the damn cyborg alive, and then the blocked river would drown him. So much for Department Coldfire. Delphi was well protected, but still just a man inside his protective shell of advanced tech and machinery. Sloshing through the trickling water, Doc hastily reloaded the Ruger and cursed internally at the discovery that he was now out of ammo for the revolver. The realization only made him more resolute to escape the underground warren. The passage was getting wider, and in the dim glow of the moss, he could see numerous side channels going off in random directions. The implications were unnerving. If he got lost, Doc knew that he could end up spending the rest of his life walking in circles trying to get out again. He had to stay on a singular course, and trust that the source of the fresh air would eventually be discovered. He scented the air. Yes, the breeze was still with him, not blocked by the avalanche behind. But it seemed altered now, changed somehow. And Doc really could not tell what was subtly different. Pulling the ebony stick from his belt, Doc withdrew the Spanish sword and slashed the wall moss to mark his way. Counting to 100 paces, he did it again, and then again at the same distance. But the glow of the moss was getting dimmer, and Doc felt a touch of fear at the thought of being trapped underground in the pitch black, entombed, buried alive. The very death he had bestowed upon Delphi might now be his own fate. It would seem that life was not without a sense of irony. Wrapped in these dire thoughts, Doc didn't catch the noise at first. Then he went motionless. Holding his breath, Doc listened for all he was worth, and clearly caught the noise this time. A bird. There was a twittering bird somewhere to his right. Heading that way, Doc saw that the trickle of water was going in the same direction, and his heart lightened at the positive omen. Suddenly, a warm breeze caressed his face, and Doc broke into a grin as he dimly, saw a patch of stars twinkling directly ahead. He had found the exit. Proceeding with care, Doc sheathed the sword and used the sword stick to test the ground ahead as he walked toward the stars. Minutes later, he bumped his head on the mouth of an irregular opening. Bending slightly, he stepped through the mouth of the river and found himself standing on the precipice of a waterfall. The riverbed was glistening with moisture, the footing treacherous with slime. Squinting hard, Doc could only see a vast open space below, a yawning chasm that reached to unknown depths. Looking up, Doc saw the starry sky, the fiery clouds far off to his left, while the crescent moon shone a cool, silvery blue light on the surface world.
I made it!
Moving carefully over the slippery stones, Doc stumbled to the nearby bank of the river and crawled onto dry land. Lying there, he hugged the earth, savoring the smell. There were sharp rocks in the loose soil, but never had dirt felt so good between his fingers. The bird called again, and Doc slowly stood to see it winging away on an unknown quest. It wasn't a scream wing or any form of mutie, just an ordinary bird. He tried to make out the species, but it was already gone, racing away from his unwanted presence. Advancing to the edge of the cliff, Doc turned to look down at the abyss below and tried to imagine what it would have been like with the stream flowing at full force. He would have been washed right over and sent plummeting to whatever there was in the Stygian dark. The explosion that killed Delphi had also opened the door for Doc's escape.
Timing. It was always a matter of timing.
Savoring the warmth of the desert air, Doc glanced around and easily found the burning wreckage of the Indian settlement a mile or so in the distance. Had he really gone that far through the river?
Amazing.
Shaking the dust from his hair, Doc briefly checked his soaked belongings, then started away from the cliff. He was exhausted, half frozen, and sore all over from countless bruises, but this wasn't the place to rest. His horse was gone, but with any luck, he might be able to find Delphi's war wag and figure out a way inside. JB had taught him a lot about locks, and there was always brute force. The sleek transport would certainly have stores of food and weapons for the cyborg, but even more importantly, there could be data files containing information about Coldfire, notebooks, a journal, perhaps a computer file. Mildred had taught him about accessing those. Using the burning settlement as a landmark, Doc started inland, angling away from the waterfall. However, the ground sloped toward the dead stream, and the loose pebbles kept slipping and sliding under his damp boots.
Whoa!
More than once he started a small landslide and began heading sideways toward the edge of the cliff. Dropping to his hands and knees, Doc let the disturbance settle, then began to crawl up the slope. The going was tough, but he was determined, and he was nearly at the crest, when he heard a familiar voice.
Theo?
Doc went motionless and felt the hairs rise on the back of his neck.
Theo, my love?
Slowly, ever so slowly, a terrified Doc turned to look over his shoulder. There she was, standing at the edge of the cliff, her hands clenched tight, as if in prayer. But there was no doubt about the identity of the woman. It was Emily Tanner, Doc's wife.
How?
Doc felt his sanity reel. Tears flooded his eyes, and his stomach hurt. For a moment, he thought he might be sick.
Is that you, my dear, sweet love?
Theo?
Emily took a step forward, then hesitantly pulled back.
Where are you, Theo?
Awkwardly standing, Doc started toward the woman, but then she turned away.
Theo?
And faced another direction. That made him stop. Couldn't Emily see him? He was only 50 feet away. That was when Doc felt a rush of suspicion. Emily was doing the same things over and over again, saying the exact same words in the exact precise order.
Good God!
Then Doc saw that the figure of Emily was not standing near the edge of the cliff, but past it, a good yard out in thin air.
hologram.
That wasn't his wife. Just some sort of three-dimensional recording of someone who looked like her. If he had rushed blindly into her arms, he would have gone over the cliff to his death. With that thought, Doc turned to charge up the slope once more. How this ruse was accomplished, he had no idea. But if time travel was involved, then he wanted no part of it. Fighting his way up the slope, Doc slipped and fell, only to throw himself forward again and keep going. To hell with the war wag, he needed to get away from here as fast as possible. Perhaps he could buy a horse from the surviving Indians. Hopefully, he wouldn't be forced to steal one. But either way, he was leaving New Mex, and right now. As Doc scrambled to the top of the slope, there was a motion in the air above. And a net dropped over him, the heavy weight driving him flat to the ground. Frantically, Doc fought against the entangling lengths, but the sticky strands seemed to tighten at every effort, until he was forced to lie still to keep breathing. Shaking with rage, Doc could do nothing as a dark shape rose from behind the crest and slowly walked closer.
Welcome back, Tanner.
Edward Rogan grinned and swung his leg forward. The steel-toed combat boot slammed into Doc's side. Doc felt a rib break. The thick nylon strands around him absorbed some of the impact, but a few more of those would be fatal. Not necessarily a bad thing, Doc thought grimly.
He squealed, you know.
Leaning in close, the scarred features of Edward came sharply into view.
What the fuck was that you said?
Defiantly, Doc glared back. The net was blocking most of his view of the big man, but there now seemed to be two more shapes nearby.
I said, sir, that your yellow belly brother wept like a little girl as I cut out his heart.
Doc braced himself for death. Long ago he had made a vow that Coldfire would never capture him alive. If this was the only way, so be it.
Nobody talks to a Rogan that way.
Edward pulled a huge blaster from his gun belt. Kicking Doc over, the barrel-chested man shoved the cold barrel into Doc's mouth.
You're gonna pay for that.
John brusquely slapped the blaster aside.
Don't touch the wrinkly. But he chilled Alan.
Edward brandished the blaster while his left hand reached for the bound scholar. To Doc, the hand looked large enough to crush his skull like an egg. Meanwhile, Robert massaged his bandaged arm.
And shot me. And jacked our bikes. And took Lily. I agree with what you're saying, brother. But remember this. There's not a fragging thing we can do to Tanner that will be half as bad as what Delphi has planned for him.
Grinding his teeth, Edward merely breathed for a few minutes. Then the big man relented, holstering his gun.
Yeah, that's true. Tanner will get his soon enough. Hey, you think the Wrinkly was trying to play us? Make us chill him so Delphi never has his fun?
Yeah, maybe. It's what I would have done, that's for nukin' sure.
John walked around the helpless man.
Bastard is smart, you gotta give him that. Nobody ever got away from us before.
The elder Rogan could see the ebony stick and revolvers of the prisoner through the black netting. He seriously disliked leaving any captive armed, but it was safer to keep the net in place until Delphi took possession. Tanner had escaped once before. That wasn't going to happen again.
Any chance of Delphi letting us watch?
Who knows? Maybe we can even help. Delphi doesn't know everything.
A lone eagle winged by the cliff. In the talons of the bird was the limp corpse of a small songbird.
That's for damn sure.
Even through his pain, Doc caught the comment and wondered exactly what it meant. These cold hearts worked for Delphi, but apparently not willingly. Interesting. If so, that might leave a little room for negotiations. Or even better, he might be able to make them turn against one another.
Listen, I know...
That was as far as Doc got, before John kicked him in the ribs again, the impact blossoming into white fire that stole the very breath from his lungs.
You speak again and we start cutting. Delphi wants you alive, but he didn't say untouched. You get me?
Doc weakly nodded, waiting for the pain to subside. Rough hands grabbed the old man and flipped him over.
Smart boy. Okay, you two. Haul his ass away from the cliff. I'm not gonna risk him rolling off the edge.
Staring upward, Doc could only see the outline of the Cold Hearts against the starry sky. Their faces were blank masks in the darkness. Sliding on plastic gloves, two of the Rogans grabbed the sticky netting and roughly hauled Doc along the ground, over the crest, and onto the hard-packed sand of the desert. Sand poured over his collar and down his shirt, but Doc said nothing, knowing that speech wasn't an option right then. He was helpless, unable to reach any of his weapons. Releasing the net, the Rogans dropped Doc onto the ground. He hit his head on a rock, and everything went hazy for a while. When he could see again, Doc noted that the Rogans had a campfire going and were making coffee. The smell was a tantalizing agony. Behind them was a single black bike and a couple of horses munching on feed bags tied around their necks. Doc blinked at the unexpected sight. How strange. The animals carried the brand of Tucsonville. What did that mean? Had Baron O'Connor turned against the companions? Edward brushed his ponytail off his shoulder.
So where is he? The message on the radio said we were supposed to get here triple fast. Been an hour already.
The fact that an hour had passed while he was unconscious meant little to Doc compared to the casual comment that the Rogans had been contacted over a radio.
We answer his call, not the other way around, bro.
Fragging bastard. I don't like playing a slut for any man.
He ain't a man. He ain't a muti or a pre-dark machine. Duke in hell, I don't know what the frag he is aside from dangerous.
I know what else he is. He's chilled.
Did you just speak?
John reached for the sheath on his belt and pulled out a handle without a knife attached. Then he pressed a button on the side, and a steel blade snapped into sight. A switchblade. Doc hadn't seen one of those in years.
Do him, bro!
I told you to stay quiet, old man. And now you're gonna pay.
Delphi is dead.
Doc's eyes searched the faces of the three brothers around the crackling flames. Their disbelief was obvious.
It is true. I chilled him this very night.
Shut the fuck up.
John came closer.
Master is dead.
Doc's chest felt as if it were full of water, and every breath only made it worse.
I have accomplished what you could not.
That's so. How'd you do it?
We were in an underground stream. I used a gren. The roof collapsed, and he was buried under tons of rock.
Less than a yard away, John paused to shift his grip on the pre-dark switchblade. He had heard a lot of people beg for their lives over the years, making wild promises, telling crazy stories about redoubts and other muti shit. Usually the Cold Heart could tell when somebody was shooting from the hip or throwing pure horseshit. It bothered the elder Rogan that the wrinkly thought he was speaking the truth. Was it possible? Could Delphi have been chilled? Uneasily, the three brothers exchanged puzzled looks, then cast worried glances into the darkness outside the dancing nimbus of the campfire.
What do you think?
Moving slowly, John folded the knife closed and tucked it into a pocket.
I think we should go see this stream. Robert, you stay here with the wrinkly.
What if he's lying?
Robert picked up his rapid fire and opened the breech for the Gren launcher. Taking a 40-millimeter shell from the bandolier across his chest, he slid the fat brass into the launcher and closed it.
There might be a booby trap waiting there.
Edward dropped the clip from his rapid fire to check the load. Slapping the clip back into the long blaster, he worked the bolt, chambering around.
Maybe, but what if it's true?
It is true.
Oh yeah, right. So where is this stream?
Just past the cliff, where you showed the hologram of Emily. How did you do that anyway? Did Delphi give you that recording?
That had been preying on his mind ever since he'd seen the image. Was it a picture taken through time? Or did Kronos, or Coldfire, have his wife captive in one of their cursed labs? Dear God, anything but that. John Rogan grabbed Doc by the silver hair and forcibly hauled his face upward.
What the fuck are you yammering about, Wrinkly? What's a hologram, and who the fuck is Emily?
They didn't know. But then, who could have created the hologram? Delphi was dead. Did that mean there were more agents of Coldfire in the area? Suddenly, in a blind panic to escape, Doc tried to concoct a believable lie.